Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center, providing clinical research trials that evaluate new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advanced stages of disease. The number for more information is 1-800-492-5538. We've talked a lot about the Citizens United ruling in the Supreme Court and what that did. And of course, we also what it did in the last election, which was to unleash an unprecedented amount of corporate money into our elections, hundreds of millions of dollars that swayed this election. Question is corporate speech free speech the way we think it should mean in the First Amendment as quoted for us, the citizens of this country, or is it something different? A lot of people would argue that as we look at what's going on in America today, that this new wave of corporate free speech has really threatened our democracy, has it? We'll talk about that this hour. I mean, the resources of large corporations are just absolutely staggering. When you look at the profits of corporations and what they can put into organizations, it's just unbelievable. I mean, what we saw in the election year, before we jump into our guests, this last election year, in congressional and presidential campaigns, political parties and public and political action committees combined, including corporate-run political action committees in our country, the amount of money, $5 billion. How do citizens compete against that in fighting for our democracy? Is it really a threat or not? Well, we're going to talk about all that this hour. In a moment, we'll talk with State Senator Jamie Raskin and Jeff Clements. But first, we're going to hear a conversation I had earlier today with Maryland Congresswoman Donna Edwards from Maryland's 4th Congressional District in Prince George's County around Washington, D.C., who introduced a constitutional amendment enabling Congress and the states to regulate the expenditure of funds by corporations engaging in political speech that would not violate our First Amendment rights. Let's hear the conversation I had with Donna Edwards, then we'll turn to our live conversation here with our two guests, and of course, all of you out there at 410-319-8888. First, this conversation I had earlier today with Congresswoman Donna Edwards. This is Mark Steiner. We're about to have a conversation with Congresswoman Donna Edwards, who represents, of course, Prince George's County and other parts around the Washington, D.C. area in Maryland. And Donna Edwards, welcome. Good to have you with us once again.
Thank you, Mark. It's great to be with you.
So I'm really fascinated about this struggle that I just really came to my attention when I first saw your response after the Citizens United decision was made by the Supreme Court. But then again, from a number of people around the country have been sending me information about this effort to create a movement around a constitutional amendment. But take us back to, for a moment before you talk about that, to the Citizens United ruling by the Supreme Court, what it said to you and your reaction to it. What launched this for you?
Right. Well, you know, at the beginning of this year when the Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission case was decided by the Supreme Court, I looked at that and thought, what a disaster. I mean, the court overturned basically 100 years of precedent enabling corporations to spend unlimited amounts from their own corporate treasuries on political campaigns for and against candidates. And, you know, I had no idea at the time, although I supposed that that would be true, that it would wreak havoc on our political system. And indeed, just as we've come through this last election, we saw corporations spending billions of dollars on political campaigns. And I think that it has really turned our system of democracy and elections on their head.
And your reaction, I thought, was pretty interesting the next day. I mean, you came up with an idea for a constitutional amendment that would overturn Citizens United.
I did. And, I mean, really, you know, I had been, you know, really following the case for a long time as it made its way through the lower courts and into the Supreme Court. And recall, you know, what was written right after the court heard oral arguments. And so I really suspected that given the tenor of the questions and the briefs that were submitted that the court would in fact overturn the decision. And in thinking about what that would mean to our system, I decided then, I said, you know what, this might be one of those rare opportunities where we may indeed have to amend the Constitution in order to fix this wrong that the court has wrought. And after seeing the decision and reading it, it became very clear to me that the one avenue out really is a constitutional amendment.
something we'll talk about later in this hour with our guest, though. I received an email from Fran Corton out in Seattle, where she had one of the publishers of Yes Magazine. She was just addressing a church in Seattle about this issue, and the church was very excited about it. I think it was a Presbyterian church or something. They were very excited about it in Seattle. But one of the pieces she sent was that, that constitutional amendments are not for sissies.
Well, that's true, and I'm not a sissy.
No, you're not. I know you're not.
You know, a constitutional amendment is a very tough hurdle to overcome, but given what the court has done in saying, you know, corporations reach deep into your treasuries, whether you're banks or credit card companies or your oil and gas companies, you know, whatever interest, reach deep into your treasury and go out and buy your election. And I think that that actually calls for something that's going to take more than a sissy to get up there and fight for it. And that's why I really strongly support this constitutional amendment that I have introduced that would actually allow the Congress to actually regulate our campaigns, which and our elections and the campaign financing, which the court said the Congress doesn't have the authority to do. And so it's quite a hurdle. You have to get basically, you know, a supermajority of the House and the Senate to agree and a supermajority of the state legislatures to agree. But we've amended the Constitution in the past, and so we can do it again, especially for something as important as protecting our elections.
What exactly is the wording of your amendment?
Well, in fact, you know, what's really interesting is that it's very, very simple. In fact, it doesn't even cover a half a page. And all it says is that Congress has the authority to regulate corporate expenditures for elections, and that there's not anything that would then stand in the way of the application of the First Amendment. And so what that does is it enables Congress to regulate elections, but to retain the longstanding tradition that we've had in protecting the press from any of this regulation by Congress. And so it's really simple. I think if I count the lines, it's probably, 10 lines?
Mm-hmm.
And it does exactly what it would need to do. And I think it's actually catching on around the country. We already have 26 co-sponsors, which anyone who knows the history of constitutional amendments know that most members of Congress never jump onto a constitutional amendment. Has a similar amendment that's actually been introduced into the Senate as well. And I think that especially as people have experienced this last election cycle and we move into the presidential cycle where every corporation imaginable can just sort of reach in and spend all of its money that it wants on elections, the American people are going to say, no. That's not what we mean by people owning our elections. We can't have corporations owning.
And you said in the Senate side there are people who are agreeing with you on this amendment.
Exactly. And so I think that we are actually just developing a lot of momentum. And I think as folks have had an opportunity to digest really the debacle of what happened in this midterm election cycle with so much money that was being spent, and we didn't even know who was spending it. And I think it's important for us to have disclosure, which the court would allow. But disclosure alone is not going to stop these entities from spending the money.
And just finally, I wonder if you would describe what you think is the effect of the power of kind of corporate money, not just in this past election, but what do you think it portends for us the way it stands now?
Well, I mean, whether we're talking to citizens about the need to change our health care system, or we're debating foreign policy, or we're debating energy policy, or the role that banks and credit card companies can have in our economic lives, all of these debates impact corporations. And if corporations are allowed to spend unlimited amounts of their own money, what that means for the rest of us is it drowns out the voices of ordinary Americans who may only have $5 or no dollars to contribute to a political a campaign or candidate. And so while I think that, you know, it's important for corporations through their lobbyists and others to be able to express their interest on policy, they shouldn't be allowed to drown the voices of ordinary citizens when it comes to making policy in this country. And this is something that's very fundamental. Most people, and the reason that we found such a tremendous response across the country to the constitutional amendment is because people know in their gut that what the Supreme Court did was wrong and that it has to be fixed.
Congresswoman Donna Edwards, thank you so much for taking your time on this busy day.
thank you, and keep talking about House Resolution 74, because we need more people across the country getting their members of Congress, their senators, signed on to this this resolution. That's House Resolution 74.
We will do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
House Joint Resolution 74, sponsored by our own Donna Edwards, that you just heard here a moment ago, reads this way. Section 1, the sovereign right of the people to govern being essential to a free democracy, Congress and the states may regulate the expenditure of funds for political speech by any corporation, limited liability company, or other corporate entity. Section 2, nothing contained in this article shall be construed to abridge the freedom of the press. This would be our 28th amendment to the Constitution. It'd be a long haul to make it happen, but I think the conversation needs to start, and helping us start the conversation today. And yes, the people we have on the show today are all for it, because we want to kind of even the playing field a little bit. And we'll have other discussions. Every side will be here, but let's even the playing field and let it be heard for a moment what we're trying to talk about here. We are joined by State Senator Jamie Raskin, who's been talking about things like this for a long time. He is a professor of constitutional law at American University, one of the founders of the organizations that we are talking about here, Free Speech for People. Jeff Clements is with us. He's an attorney who filed an amicus brief representing five citizens groups arguing against expanding corporate First Amendment rights. And we discovered him through our friend Fran Corton over at Yes Magazine when she emailed me with a link to his work. And we wrote to him right away. And State Senator Jamie Raskin and Jeff Clements, welcome. Good to have you both with us.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
Good to be here, Mark. Thanks.
Number here is 410-319-8888. Write to us at steinershow@gmail.com. What do you think about this idea? Are our rights as citizens and our free speech different than corporations? Should they be? What do you think corporations are doing to our democracy? We want to hear your thoughts, whether you think we need a constitutional amendment. So let me just start first, Jeff Clements, because we've not met you yet on the air here, at least not on our show. And your role in all of this, and talk a bit about what you're doing.
Sure, and I'm really glad to be here on your show. It's been we've gotten an awful lot done since the Citizens United decision came down in Maryland and across the country, and it's been great to work with real leaders like Donna Edwards, I'm so happy to hear from again on your show, and Senator Jamie Raskin, who. Both of them were right out in the lead after this case came down. They got it and have been incredibly powerful in their leadership on this. My involvement was early on, I filed a brief in the case, as you indicated, Mark, on behalf of several citizens groups, democracy groups, arguing essentially that the court should stand by what the court's interpretation of our Constitution has been for really two centuries, which is that corporations are entities created by state law for economic reasons. They're not citizens, and they're not people. This idea of corporate speech really didn't exist until a recent fabrication of the doctrine in the commercial speech area in recent years. And in Citizens United, for the first time, this idea that somehow corporate speech can stop the American people from regulating corporate money in elections, that's just unprecedented in American history. We made that argument in the brief. As we all know, we lost that argument. And the day the case came down, I helped launch Free Speech for People with Jamie Raskin and others. It's a campaign to amend the Constitution to overturn Citizens United. And people can read about it at freespeechforpeople.org. And we're doing the work that Donna Edwards just talked about, carrying this message across the country along with her and Senator Raskin and thousands and thousands of Americans across the country.
Jamie Raskin, corporations are not people. That should be maybe your middle name.
Right.
What? Talk a bit about Free Speech for People.
But what's so interesting about the Citizens United decision, which is hailed by the right wing as a big free speech victory, is that it did not give a single U.S. citizen any more right than he or she had to spend his or her own money in politics. I mean, if you were the CEO of Goldman Sachs or Enron, you could give campaign contributions to every member of Congress. You could spend tens of millions of dollars of your own money independently in any campaign you wanted, just like the executives and the members of the board of the corporation could. All Citizens United said is that the CEO can take money out of the corporate treasury, money that's been essentially put there by consumers or, you know, people who pay their electric bill or people who eat or whatever, take that money out and spend it to advance the corporate objective. And we got to be clear that when you or I spend money in politics, the framers at least had the hope that we would act with enlightened self-interest. That is, we would try to promote our own interests, but we would try to promote the interests of our neighbors and our community. We'd have some sense of the common good and the public well-being. A corporation legally is bound to spend its money for one purpose and one purpose only, which is to pursue profit and to increase the bottom line of the corporation. So you've got to understand how radical a decision Citizens United is in the course of American history, because for two centuries, the standard doctrine, not just among liberal justices, but conservative justices, going back to Chief Justice John Marshall all the way through William Rehnquist, has been that a corporation is an artificial entity that possesses no political rights because it's a creature of the state and it's set up for economic purposes to serve the public, essentially, to go out and make money. And they've been fantastically successful at making money and producing things and so on. But we seem to have moved into a different stage of the market economy, where the corporations essentially want to make money by going to the government, by going to the state and getting bailouts and sweetheart contracts and using their influence to do what the economists call rent-seeking behavior. And the Supreme Court has completely collaborated with them in this project, and it's created a real crisis in our political democracy, as we saw in the 2010 congressional elections, where we had a flood of congressional money that built a wall of right-wing propaganda across the country. And it's just a dress rehearsal for what's going to happen in 2012, where it won't be hundreds of millions of dollars, but it'll be billions of dollars coming out of corporate treasuries.
Now, I'm going to go to the phones here because people are calling in already, but I want to come back and talk with you, unless our listeners raise it, the issues of what this newfound corporate power and money are doing to, you think are doing to American democracy, and what it means to create a constitutional amendment. We should tackle that. This is no, when I talked to Don Edwards and looked at the piece Fran Corton sent me, which I'll share with our listeners on our website, that constitutional amendments are not for sissies, that this is a battle that could take a while, but it's an opportunity to create a discussion in America that we're not having. So we'll come back to that with our two guests. You just heard Jimmy Raskin. Jeff Clements is also with us, 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to the Mark Steiner Show Facebook page and throw your comments up there. We'll read them as well. Metro in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Is that Mitchell or Metro?
It says Metro, but it means Mitchell. That's you.
Yes.
This
is Mitchell.
Mitchell, welcome.
The great philosopher and educator John Dewey said that the next wave of fascism would be wrapped in American flag. What better way to legitimize that than to have the highest institution of law, the Supreme Court, to legitimize that?
Mark, first of all, I got to say, I got to love going on the Mark Steiner Show. It's the only place where the callers will quote John Dewey. So my congratulations to the caller. I love Dewey myself. Well, you know, the interesting thing is that there's not much of an American flag wrapped in this decision, because implicit within it, and I think necessary to the logic of it, is that not only U.S. corporations, but foreign corporations have an unlimited right to spend their money in our elections. You know, it would be very difficult to draw a line and say, oh, well, there's too much stock being owned by foreigners now, so you can't spend money here. I mean, basically, the court has said these corporations, you know, regardless of how much, you know, stock is owned by foreigners, get to spend money in our elections. And so we are, you know, empowering a corporate class above the citizens of the United States. And, you know, one of the shocking things about the most recent election was it came out that there were several investment banks that were that got bailout money, that actually put money into conservative 501c4 organizations, funneled money through these right-wing groups, that then gave the money to right-wing Tea Party candidates who denounced Democrats for supporting the bailout. And then beat them, but of course they're going to Washington to serve the corporate agenda. And, you know, and that's the complete phoniness of the Tea Party phenomenon, that, you know, some of their rhetoric is of kind of an anti-bailout or anti-corporate nature, but the reality is, you know, as Jane Mayer showed in the New Yorker magazine, that the Tea Party movement is completely bought and paid for by large corporate powers, including the Koch brothers, who are, you know, oil magnates. And they've come to Washington. There's a nice article in the Washington Post today about how they've already started raking in the corporate dollars directly into their campaign. So, you know, the real campaign should have been about issues that were never mentioned, the Iraq war, the Afghan war, how we're really going to get people back to work in the three great corporate catastrophes that basically weren't mentioned, the mortgage fiasco and crisis that's a multi-trillion dollar disaster, the BP oil spill, the worst unnatural disaster in American history, and the collapsing oil mines in West Virginia by the Massey Corporation, which ignored hundreds of regulatory violations and led to the deaths of 25 people. None of those things were mentioned in the campaign because instead there was this propaganda about how the Democrats wanted to give Viagra to convicted rapists.
But before we go to our next two callers, Ann and Corey, but I'm going to just push what Mitchell was saying, though. But I think what Mitchell is saying is what you just said, Jamie. I mean, that and Dewey's quote was hopefully not prescient, that's exactly what happened. The corporations can mask their role and their agenda in the cloak of the flag wrapped around patriotic groups, which is what's going on and which is what they're going to do.
So I guess that's right. It's dressed in a Tea Party hat or it's wrapped in the First Amendment, which is a complete joke. At the same time that, you know, you've got the Roberts Court completely demolishing First Amendment freedoms in other areas, so, you know, in the national security area, for example, they turn around and, you know, don the wardrobe of the First Amendment in order to advance corporate power. Again, not increasing any single citizen's right of free speech in any way, but just allowing the CEOs to take money out of the corporate treasuries to promote the corporate agenda.
Now, Jeff Clements, this is bringing you in here, then we'll go to Diane and to Corey. Playing on that, the idea of wrapping yourself in an American flag, and I don't mean to do it in a specious sense, but that to make create a constitutional amendment, create this conversation in America about changing the nature of who has a right to free speech in America, the people, not the corporations. This is a massive organizing effort, and it's a massive discussion Americans can have. And I'm going to posit that, because I can tell from my conversations with some of my very conservative friends, that this goes beyond liberal conservative left and right. This is Americans across the spectrum are worried about the power of corporations and corporate power in this country.
That's absolutely right, and that's what's the exciting opportunity here. I mean, Citizens United is a disaster, no question. It's a disaster for democracy, and it masquerades as a free speech case when really it's a corporate power case. And we are in a power struggle, we Americans, with multinational corporate power that sees the American market like it sees every other market, is how do you manipulate the government and maximize profit at the expense of the people. So it is exciting that the reaction to Citizens United, it's clear the court didn't fool many Americans. If you look at the polling, and it was done last February, it was done again in June, across the political spectrum, this includes Republicans, Independents, Democrats, it's close to 80% rejection of the Citizens United decision, and it's over three-quarters, again, across the spectrum, Republicans, Independents, Democrats, supporting a constitutional amendment. So I'm happy to wave my flag along with every other American, as we did 27 times before, to make our democracy through the amendment process. We've overruled the court in the past when the court went off the rails, as it has here, in order to preserve our democracy. African Americans vote, women vote, 18, 19, 20-year-olds vote. We elect senators, all because of the amendment process. And that's what's happening now. I think there's just a groundswell, and it's not a right-left issue. It's an American issue.
Let me go back to the phones here at 410-319-8888. And Diane, you're on the air.
Hi. Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you so much. Before I come to my main question, I did want to say that I did a very silly satire that's on a YouTube called The Two-Headed Coctopus. I did that with a friend here. So
I want to see
a
that.
Lot of the information from the Jane Mayer article is in our silly skit. But I wanted to propose a different solution, and I would love to hear your guests' ideas about this. Recently, a group based in New England called the New Economics Institute held a forum in New York with several speakers, and a professor named Neva Goodwin, who teaches ecological economics at Tufts, put forward a term that I had not heard of before called sustainable human economy, or SHE. And what Professor Goodwin proposed as one of the solutions to this sort of out-of-control corporate power of government and of our country is that government, not necessarily at the federal level, but at some level, could revoke corporate charters of either revoke or withhold corporate charters of companies who are not contributing to this sustainable human economy. And that may be a useful way to address it would be to apply it kind of on an industry basis. And I'm just wondering what your guests think about that idea.
Hmm. Jeff Clements, you want to start off?
I think it's an excellent idea. It's a terrific idea that there's a lot of talk about in a lot of the states. And it reminds us that corporations only exist because states allow the creation of a corporate charter. And so states and we the people through our legislatures should define the rules for what you get when you go down to the Secretary of State and you get a corporate charter. Most of the multinational corporations that we're actually talking about and that that are benefiting from this decision to control our democracy, they're incorporated in Delaware. And there's no reason at all why the rest of the American people should have to live with Delaware corporate law when it has such an impact both in our nation and across the world. And Delaware folks should look at the corporate law as every state should to take control. This is really about who controls our country, and the way the people can take control is through corporate charters. And it's why we need the amendment campaign, frankly, because there is some question about whether if that went up to the Supreme Court, the court would do what they did in Citizens United, which is to back corporate power despite our history, despite the meaning of the Constitution, and say, well, somehow it infringes speech to put restrictions or rules on the charters. So I think we need to do all of these things, and we need to continue to push the constitutional amendment, because that's the basic proposition, that we're a government of the people, not of corporations, and that will help the charter reform, it'll help disclose laws, it'll help shareholder rights, it'll help all the other things that we have to do, but we won't be able to do any of those things if we don't ultimately take back control with the people rather than with corporations in this country.
On the way to a break, Jim, you want to add to that at all?
Yeah, well, I really agree with Jeff about that. You know, one reason why this decision has inspired, you know, almost universal revulsion across the political spectrum is it's not just an attack on one person, one vote democracy, but it's really an attack on the free market, the way that most people understand it and support it. You know, it's done kind of through the rhetoric of small business, but most small business people you talk to just laugh at the idea that they could be giving tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars in these campaigns, and they understand it's about the large corporations that basically have a parasitic relationship to the federal government and the ones that have the armies of lobbyists that go in to write the laws to promote their outcome. And, you know, the original liberal market economists like Adam Smith were very clear about this. I mean, Smith thought that economic competition was a great way to stimulate innovation and, you know, efficient results in the economy. But he said nothing's more dangerous than when you allow businesses to get together and collude as political actors, and said, essentially, if you get a bunch of businesses in a room together, that's a conspiracy against the public interest. You want them off doing their own research and their own innovation to compete with each other. But what we've got now is a corporate class that really wants to act as sort of a political agency in the society, and it's a very dangerous thing for everybody else. One thing I want to say about Maryland is we passed a revolutionary new law in the last legislative session called the Benefit Corporation Law that allows people to organize corporations that will both make money but also have a public purpose too. And we've, you know, already had dozens of businesses come to Maryland to organize as benefit corporations. You know, the progressives really need to make it possible for small business to thrive and to do whatever we can to support small business in this environment.
We have to take a very brief break. I have a lot of questions that came on my mind. It was Jeff Clements and Jamie Raskin were talking. We are talking about the proposal for a constitutional amendment. We have to read again when we come back from this break to give you a sense of what is being debated about Citizens United and not allowing corporations to steal away the citizens' right to free speech in America. 410-319-8888 number here. Corey, hold on. We're going to come to your call as soon as we return from this very brief break. On the way, let me read something from the station here as we go in. Support for WEAA is provided by WEAA listener Alvin Darrell, who is offering up for adoption to a good home two English Bulldog puppies. These Bulldogs have all their shots, love children and other pets, and are housebroken. More information at ad4461@hotmail.com or 410-391-5313. I have a number of my listeners on Facebook ask about this, so get that if you want the dog. They might still be there. We'll be right back. Stay with us, and we'll go right to Corey, our first listener, as we return. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. Do you agree with the notion that we should have a constitutional convention that says this? This would be our 28th Amendment. Should it pass? It would be years in the battle, but a years in conversation America needs to have with itself. Section 1, the sovereign right of the people to govern being essential to a free democracy. Congress and the states may regulate the expenditure of funds for political speech by any corporation, limited liability company, or other corporate entity. Section 2, nothing contained in this article shall be construed to abridge the freedom of the press, written by and co-introduced by Maryland Congresswoman Donna Edwards. 410-319-8888 is the number here as we talk with State Senator Jamie Raskin, who's also professor of constitutional law at American University, and Jeff Clements, attorney who filed an amicus brief representing five citizens groups arguing against expanding corporate First Amendment rights. 410-319-8888. Corey, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Corey. Welcome.
Thanks for taking my call. I am all for the amendment. In fact, I'm very proud that it was introduced by someone right here in the state of Maryland. And the other thing, too, that worries me is I'm very upset by the decision that was made by the Supreme Court justices. And I can't be the only one in the United States who shares this sentiment that there's something very wrong with that decision. And why is no one sounding the alarm on these people who agree with that decision? And can they be impeached?
Jamie, you want to grab this first?
Well, the answer to that question is yes. Will they be impeached? I doubt it. But I agree completely with you. It was a 5-4 decision where the Supreme Court actually had four or five other ways it could have decided the case on non-constitutional grounds in favor of the Citizens United group, in favor of their, you know, anti-Hillary Clinton video. That would have been very easy for them to say, for example, that a pay-per-view movie is not covered by McCain-Feingold. But they leapt over all of those other ways of deciding the case, which were judicially minimalist ways of going, and essentially wrote a new question. And it was a question that had not been posed to them in order to wipe out, a substantial portion of campaign finance law in America and to empower corporations. And so, you know, I'm somebody who is still shocked and scandalized by Bush versus Gore, but the Supreme Court there just engineered one election in 2010. In Citizens United, the court is essentially dramatically recast every election that we're going to see in American history from now on until we can somehow put the genie back in the bottle.
410, thank you so much, Corey, for that call. I think a lot of people feel that way. I think that this is something that could really, a conversation could really take, I think, America by storm if it is done right. And Jeff Clements, I want you both to kind of respond to what you think the real threat, as you see it, to democracy is here. I mean, because people get so tired of politics. They're so tired of the partisanship and nothing happening on Capitol Hill. And a lot of that has to do with the power of corporations on that hill to manage and control the debate. Witness the tax cut debate right now on Capitol Hill and what's happening and how the stranglehold is taking over. So let's talk a bit about your perspective, Senator Jeff Clements, on what all this really means for American democracy.
Yeah, and this is the reason why, and I would refer Corey and others to the website. We have a video of Jessica Sharp, a Maryland mother of a 2-year-old, who wanted to know what she could do and found our website and went out and started a rally and started helping others organize to work for the amendment. And the reason, and that video is on the website if people want to see what Jessica has done and what others can do. The reason Americans are doing that is because this isn't just an abstract, you know, constitutional law argument, and it's not even a debate or a concern for those who are concerned about money and politics, although that's a grave concern. It's really about the soul of our country and whether whether we're going to have a shot at the kind of country that we all want and that we know we could have. And I think, you know, one way to look at it is the impact on democracy, and that's what we saw in the last election, is corporate money dominating the voting. But it's also what happens in between the elections, what also doesn't happen in between the elections. And that's where you have Washington completely controlled right now by corporate lobbyists. And what Citizens United says is not only can we not solve that problem, but we're going to wipe out the laws in other states and unleash corporations in our state capitals and even in our towns and cities and school districts and so forth. And the consequences of that we've begun to see, because this Citizens United in some way is a culmination. It's a flat-out statement of what is already happening in these past two decades. And that's why you've got decline of the middle class, the destruction of the middle class, really, where for between 1950 and 1980, we had average income growth from $17,000 to $30,000. In the last 28 years, we've added $1,000. So the average is now, in 2008, was up to $31,000. That's not an accident. That's corporate domination of a government that should be for the people, and outsourcing of jobs, destruction of labor unions, denial of health care benefits, and instability for people with jobs so they can't move. The lack of innovation in our economy, as Jamie Raskin alluded to, because multinational corporations rig the rules. So if you're a small business or a startup or an innovative, green economy kind of job, you've got to go up against the Koch brothers and the fossil fuel industry. So it's about our democracy, but it's also about our economy, our environment. It's about our way of life.
Jamie? Are we lost? Jamie, you still there?
I am indeed.
Good. Your thoughts on what this really means in terms of the future of our democracy. I think that people think that corporate power has been around for so long, it's been such a powerful force in American politics. This really is politics as usual. Nothing unusual is happening here.
Well, you know, I want to quote our last great Republican president on that one, Abraham Lincoln, who talked about government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that has always been the ideal and the model for what we want to get to in America. But we know it hasn't always been like that. I mean, we certainly didn't start that way. And there are, you know, always groups that want to try to seize control and take power away from the people. And, you know, this is a struggle that took place a century ago with the populists, real populists, who, you know, struggled against the power of the big banks and the railroads and the trusts. And so it goes on. But, you know, the optimistic thing is that if you look at the Constitution, it reads as almost a transcript of popular social struggle for democracy. I mean, a majority of the constitutional amendments we've had since the Bill of Rights, we've only had 17 of them, and most of them are democracy and suffrage expanding amendments or political process perfecting amendments having to do with the Electoral College or what have you, that root democracy ever more with the people. So the constitutional amendment that Congresswoman Edwards has introduced, it's clearly going to be an uphill fight, and a lot of these amendments take years or decades to get done, but it's got the whole trajectory of the Constitution on its side. I think that the majority of Americans have already come to the realization that the agenda of whichever corporations have all the power right now, whether it's Blackwater or Enron or Goldman Sachs or whatever corporations exist before they end up collapsing because of their own criminality and wrongdoing, that agenda is not the agenda of the American people. And, you know, I believe in a market economy. I don't believe in a market society. I think we have to have a democratic society that has public priorities and public agendas, and that within the market, businesses should absolutely compete and may the best ones win and produce and innovate and excel and make money and profit and so on. But what we've got now is corporations that want to use their economic might and power to crowd everybody else out of the political process and to essentially develop a stranglehold over government. And that's dangerous to the democracy. It's dangerous to the economy. And, you know, we are going to have to deal with it. And so the constitutional amendment is a great way to rally people, organize people, and let's hope at the state levels we will be able to compel at least some disclosure of what kind of corporate spending is taking place. And we'll be doing some stuff around that in Maryland in the coming session. In Congress, we hope that they can pass the Disclose Act So there are things that can be done. But, yeah, ultimately, we need to reverse this terrible reinterpretation of our First Amendment that the five justices on the Supreme Court just pasted on it.
410-319-8888. Your thoughts. Do we need, and the lines are back open again, do we need a constitutional amendment that limits the right of corporations and the power they have in our government and in our country in terms of what we call free speech and the First Amendment rights? Do they have the same rights we do as citizens? 410-319-8888. So the question is, how do we get this conversation started? I mean, you, when we see what happened with the Equal Rights Amendment that did not pass and the struggle it took to get that constitutional amendment even to be considered by all the states and then have it voted on by all the states.
Can I say something about that, Mark? The struggle for the Equal Rights Amendment radically transformed equal protection jurisprudence. I mean, the progressive justices on the court were able to interpret equal protection, which referred not to race specifically, but just to persons, were able to interpret it to extend the equal protection guarantee to women. And today, it's standard equal protection doctrine that that pretty much every justice accepts that it applies to women.
So, I mean, and so on that note, Jamie, I mean, I think that the idea of what creating a movement for a constitutional amendment that that says, and let me again, for people just tuning in, read what this amendment is that was written by Congresswoman Donna Edwards from the state of Maryland and submitted jointly with Congressman Conyers from Detroit, and that constitutional amendments, by the way, have to be passed by 2/3 of the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, and then it has to go to all the state legislatures, and 3/4 of the states within 7 years of the date of its submission have to ratify this. So this is a long-term process, but it's a conversation that America needs to have with itself, and it says, Section 1, the sovereign right of people to govern being essential to a free democracy, Congress and the states may regulate the expenditure of funds for political speech by any corporation, limited liability company, or other corporate entity. And Section 2, nothing contained in this article shall be construed to abridge the freedom of the press. So, should we limit the ability of corporations and companies and corporate entities to expend funds as political speech in our democracy? What do you think? 410-319-8888. And so how do you get this conversation started nationwide? What is the process that begins this battle to make it happen?
Well, one thing we can do is to begin by challenging political candidates to say they won't accept money from corporations or corporate interests or, you know, limited liability corporations or what have you, depending on what state you're in. I mean, I personally don't accept the money from institutions except for human beings. And, you know, it's given me a lot of independence. And, you know, anybody who thinks that if you get $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 contributed to your campaign or spent on your behalf by a particular corporate interest doesn't matter is too innocent to be let out of the house by themselves. You know, I mean, this makes a big difference in politics. And it does affect public policy in important ways. So, you know, I think we've got to begin to raise consciousness about it at every level and, you know, to start asking candidates about what their position is on it.
Jeff?
And yet, to be clear, the conversation has begun, and it's begun in an exciting way. We definitely have a long way to go. But, you know, these amendments, people think, well, we don't do that anymore. It's important to remember that in the 20th century, we enacted, passed, and ratified amendments in virtually every single decade of the 20th century, except the 80s and the 40s. Other than that, we've been shaping our democracy with the constitutional amendment process, and the question is why have we stopped doing that? Because there's certainly it's time to do it now, and I think the conversation can be seen across the country. We've got over 500,000 people who've signed on to petitions and resolutions calling for an amendment, thanks to leadership like Jamie Raskin and Donna Edwards. We've got people in the states and Congress, state legislatures and Congress talking about it. We have state resolutions which can be passed and enacted and introduced in state legislatures calling on Congress to send to the state an amendment to ratify and overturn, to overturn Citizens United. And folks can do that in their churches, their communities, any organization they're involved in. We've got draft resolutions up on our website. Feel free to download them, petitions, talk with your neighbors, organize, and send that resolution off to folks in Washington and in your state houses and continue the conversation. There's nothing more important right now for our democracy and for our country.
Let's return to the phones at 410-319-8888 as we talk with Jeff Clements and State Senator Jamie Raskin about the move for a constitutional amendment that would limit the rights of corporations to equate their speech with ours. And Owen, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Owen. Welcome.
I just wanted to correct. You know, I know legally that corporations are considered persons, and I recommend watching The Corporation, the movie. But to say that they have the same rights as we do, as people do, is sort of confusing and wrong, because they actually have way more rights than we do, because they have all the clout of the money and the power behind them. So, you know, to say that they have equal rights, but to be careful, you know. I think they have way, way more rights than we do. Anyway, that's what I just want to throw.
No, Owen, that's great. And Jeff Clements, therein lies the rub.
I think that's exactly right.
Right.
The problem with giving corporations constitutional rights is that we have already given corporations extra rights in our state charters, and we do that for economic reasons, but we let corporations have unlimited life. We let them the shareholders have limited liability. The corporations get tax benefits and other benefits. And now they can use aggregated wealth to bury the average person, average man or woman, in our democratic process.
Well,
so,
you know, Mark, and I want to add this.
It's quite accurate that they do have more rights right now, and that's what we need to try to get a handle on.
Mark, if I can add one thing here. You know, the Bill of Rights was added to the Constitution when basically people with less power in America said that they needed rights against those people who do have power. The Bill of Rights was really meant to protect citizens against people who already have power. And so now the Supreme Court has taken a right that belongs to citizens, given to corporations, which are created by the state and which have enormous power, and so they have powers and rights. So I think the caller is exactly right. You know, there are a lot of unemployed people out there and a lot of poor people out there who at best are hanging on to their rights. They don't have the big-time law firms to represent them the way the corporations do. And the corporations now, they get the rights that the people have fought for, plus they get all of the powers they're able to buy with their money.
But we have, I mean, you can see the power at work right now. I mean, that if you look, there's a report that came out while we were on the air here that is in the New York Times, that the Republicans and Democrats are about to make pass this sweeping legislation, it says, that will ensure the tax cut go on for the wealthiest Americans, and that all that remains for at least 2 years. And the same issue with the estate tax and more. This is directly related to this question of where the power is, because here you have Democrats and some Republicans who would oppose this and have a majority but can't even get this passed in the U.S. Congress.
Yeah, it's absolutely right. It's appalling in a time when purportedly this wave came to Congress in order to address the deficit, and the first thing they do is extend tax cuts for the rich people in America and try to bargain away the ability of the unemployed to even get a modest benefit for a few more weeks. And that speaks volumes, as you said, Mark. And, you know, interestingly, one of the early corporate speech so-called cases is a case called Bilotti versus First National Bank of Boston in Massachusetts. We had a law that said that corporations should not interfere and spend corporate money to affect citizen referenda issues. And one of the referenda issues was whether we should have an income tax in Massachusetts. And Bank Boston and Gillette Corporation wanted to pour millions of dollars to basically defeat an income tax that had nothing to do with corporations, had nothing to do with Bank Boston or Gillette's business. They just wanted to make sure that we didn't have an income tax here in Massachusetts. That's the kind of indirect effects. In Bilotti, it was very direct, but what we're seeing right now is the indirect effects of Washington just dominated by corporate power.
Let me return the phones. We have a couple of callers here, and I'll let them go in. I think John Willis, former Secretary of State, is on. John, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd just like to say...
Different John, sorry. Go ahead, John.
Okay, yeah, I was just saying, I agree with everything you're saying about the corporations, and we've got to keep in mind they're controlled by these CEOs, and who have proven that they're willing the government, rob everybody to enrich themselves, and they have no conscience whatsoever. And so the whole that means that the whole corporation has no conscience and has just power, economic power and political power. And I agree with you. There should be a law against it.
Thank you, John. Let's hear from Betsy before we go off the air. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Mark.
Hi, Betsy.
I listen to your show all the time. I teach at Loyola, University of Maryland, and I just want to say that this is really about corporate capitalism, and it's really about the desire of capitalism in the U.S. to spread all over the world, and it's not just about corporations and corporate power. It's really about corporate capitalism. And we have to overthrow corporate capitalism in the United States because we're the belly of the beast. And I think your show is terrific. And this amendment is horrible. And it's going to impinge on all of our free speech. And let's overthrow corporate capitalism in the belly of the beast.
All right. Betsy, I'm only jumping in because we're actually out of time. And I want to say that all of you can go to the SteinerShow.org website and click on freespeechforpeople.org to get more information on this. And I want to thank State Senator Jimmy Raskin and Jeff Clements for being with us. And you can link to all their work as well on our website. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
It's been a pleasure. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible in part by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily content on arts, culture, food, design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Justin Levy and Christina Arison. We're engineered by Brian Boone. Our interns tonight are Shari Barnes. And congratulations, Shari, on your BS degree from Morgan State University. And we're very proud and happy that that you happened. And Chris Walker, welcome, our new intern from Towson State University's film department. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, hear new additional interviews, and find information about our guests and their work, visit us on our website at steinershow.org. And for public radio to be EAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.